I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Coming up, part 2 of the PWO Wrestling Podcast. I'm joined alongside Chandler and Luke once again, and we talk everything AEW All Out. And everything that happened after All Out. All that CM Punk craziness. Jeez, I can't believe all that stuff happened. But, yeah. Here are our insights on everything. Who should be the next champion. We break down the Jericho and Bryan Danielson match. We break down every match on this card, basically. So, yeah. Check us out. And, Blaine, send us on the way.
All right. Luke, ready?
Ready?
We're switching over to AEW.
All right, AEW All Out. AEW All Out happened this Sunday, which also the WWE NXT pay-per-view happened for them. Yeah, supposedly it was good. Mandy won both titles. What's his name? Braun Breaker, whatever.
Oh yeah,
Steiner's that's kid. Right. He won
Collide
both
was
titles.
This weekend, wasn't it?
There was a couple. Ricochet had a really good match supposedly too. With that one dude that's supposed to be building up. But we're not talking about them. Screw them. We're talking about AEW, baby. So the beginning of the pay-per-view, they had the Casino Battle Royal. There was a lot of good people in that. It had tons of big spots. You really didn't know who was going to win the match. Later in the match, I think it was the last, like, right before the Joker. There was a Joker. So a wild card that got announced. There was a group of hooded guys that came out. Attacked everybody out there. I think it was like a 6-man match, which I don't know. Was that common for a ladder match, right?
Or for the casino?
Yeah, for the casino. Mm-hmm. 7. So there was the Joker. It was Stokely Pathway. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stokely came out with
all those people. He's been like recruiting people these past couple weeks for his team. He recruited everybody that he's been talking to. They all beat up everybody. He gets up top. He grabs the chip, which what was up there, it's like the
casino chip.
Yeah, he comes down, he unmask, it's him. Then the Joker gets announced. We don't know who the Joker is. He has this like devil looking mask on. He collects the chips. He's about to take the mask off. He fakes it, walks out. So we don't know who the Joker is. And that was the Casino Battle Royal.
It's not MJ.
Did you watch any of it, Chase?
The casino one is the only match I missed.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Well, it wasn't
really on that. Was that YouTube? That was a YouTube match, wasn't it?
No, that was like the opening match.
Yeah,
because when I watched the opener was the Elite one. So I don't know what the fuck happened.
Oh, so that was...
Maybe, there was... It's probably because it was live. I was late.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But I did see what happened.
I think it was... who's the Zero... Who's the one dude that I always say? Zero...
Penta.
Penta, he was in it. Pac was in it. There's a couple other guys.
Yeah, they
had
like 3 tag teams in it, just all going at it.
Yeah.
And then they
had
like one random guy. I think it was like Dante Martin or something. I forgot
what
he's a part of. He's like the only solo guy in there.
Yeah. It was really good, though. So the trios match. The Elite versus Hangman, and I say goons, because I don't really know what their names are. I think it's the 10 or some shit like that. It was a very good match overall. Did you saw that one, right, Chase?
Yeah, I enjoyed that one, definitely. I like the trios title thing that they're doing. I think having a trios division, since they have so much talent, and a lot of the talent is tag teams, this is a genius idea to me.
Yeah. Wrestling's been doing a lot of trios match here lately, if you look at it. I mean, hell, WWE had a trios match. These guys had a trios match. They've been pushing the title for this, though. So
I just love Hangman and the Goons.
Well, did you see them?
They were good. Yeah,
they're true. Goons. It had tons of spots overall. A lot of super kicks, which Chase hates.
I'm not a super kick guy. It pisses me off.
I love it. It's just the move's been just watered down now, and that's what.
Yeah, you're ruining Sean. You're ruining Sean's legacy.
I enjoyed the match. Like, it just had everything you'd expect from it. It was just Hangman and those guys, and then you had the Elite. And
nice pop too with Hangman and Kenny.
Yeah, I love every time they get in there together.
I'm liking Hangman again a lot, though.
Hangman's so good. Hangman is a really, and he's underrated. Like you said, you know, Hangman not appreciated enough for sure.
Definitely not during his world title reign, but also it was booked like crap. So
yeah, exactly. Yep. He kind of filtered out with the title reign, but I feel like he's come back. You know, 100%. I like, and I'm loving this him versus Kenny rivalry that they're setting up.
The Elite won that match. Kenny looked really good. I mean, I thought he looked 100% healthy from that past couple of weeks when he came back with that shoulder brace on and everything. So,
yeah, it was really good to see Kenny back.
It is.
AEW needs Kenny.
Oh, they need him big time. TBS Women's Championship, Athena, which is
Ember Moon.
Ember Moon. Yeah.
Versus
okay.
Jade Cargill, which Jade Cargill is a really good champion for them. I thought it was a really good match. Top matches on that card, I thought.
True.
She seems like she's improving a lot, too.
This is what I wanted to say. AEW, there's a lot of similarities to WCW, as we've talked about. But there's also a lot of differences, in my opinion. Because I think WCW watched those matches from 77 to 2001. All the matches are basically shit other than the Cruiserweight. I think if there's one thing that AEW does better than WWE, it's women's talent, 100%. Their women's division, women's matches, those girls put on almost as good a shows as the men sometimes. There's a lot of time where it's like that. And this, like you said, Luke, this is one of your favorite matches. This is a good example of it. Like, that Jade Cargill, I barely knew about her going into this match. Barely knew about her. And she impressed me. I looked up a whole bunch of shit about her.
She's Ember 36-0, 37.
Yeah,
she's still undefeated.
Got the Goldberg thing
going. She's held the title. She's held that for quite a while.
And Athena looks really good. Like, she's, I think, stepped up since WWE.
I was about to say, when did she become, like, really, really good in the ring? Because right now, I think she's better in the ring than Bayley. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I would say
you know, Bayley's more over, you know, for sure. But, I mean, she's better in the ring than Bayley. She's up there with Sasha. I think they could put on a good match together, but I like this match a lot.
It surprised me. I liked it.
Yeah. I was saying to Chase, like, it's the WWE talent, the women's talent, look a little bit better than the AEW talent some matches, but I feel like if they go over and fight the AEW, it brings them out even more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like WWE's is more polar. So you got, like, Charlotte, you know, Bianca, you know, these really good, super talented women's wrestlers, and then you just got like piles of shit where it's, you know, it's like, you know, Dakota Kai. And I don't know why I keep shitting on Dakota Kai. I'm sorry, but I don't think she's that good of a wrestler. She's young. She definitely has improved since she's came back. But then you go to AEW and it's just like more of a, like, oh man, every single one of these ladies is like really talented.
They are.
You got a few, and like the ones that aren't good, they're not on TV. They're not throwing them out there. Nope. You know,
they're on that Friday and Tuesday crap, the YouTube show.
Yeah, this is like the third match on the card, and this is top tier of the division. Like, this is a really good match.
Yeah. All right. So Jade Cargill wins that match. I think she proves the 37-0.
Yeah.
Then we had Jay Lethal and the Machine Gun Mafia. I think it was what was that?
The Motor City Machine Guns.
Motor City, thank you. Motor City Machine Guns versus FTR and the Warlords.
You can't shit on the Motor City Machine Guns. That's a TNA classic right there, baby.
I know. FTR and Warlow win the match. We figured who was going to win the match.
Yeah.
And did you watch it, Chandler and Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it.
I like that Lethal's wrestling in AEW. I've always felt that Jay Lethal is definitely, he's like, I was going to compare him to Dolph Ziggler, but I don't like Dolph Ziggler. He's like a Dolph Ziggler if I liked him, you know, like a really good, reliable, you know, a guy that can go out there, play any character, play any role, and he's going to put up a good match.
Yeah.
More mid-card-y, but, you know, he's still like
another underappreciated guy.
Yeah, for sure. So. And he has character, too. That's why it's like he has everything to be like a really good guy, like really good big guy in the company, but it just doesn't ever really come to fruition.
Yeah.
Warlow's looking good, too. Dude's juiced out of his fucking mind.
Oh my God.
Did you beat him?
Hell no.
Not even one pin?
He's got more testosterone than a bull shark. He messed me up.
He would just do the super bomb or whatever he does.
Yeah, I like
over and over on you.
He's went up since him and MJF broke up. I thought he was kind of going to be like a big cast where it's like once you separate them, it's like they're going to push him as a singles guy, but is he really a singles guy? You know, like Tyson Tomko, if I'm going out. Like there's a thousand examples, you know. But he's turned into like maybe a Kevin Nash. You know, where it's like, this guy could be, he can hold the AEW world title one day for sure. He gets the right gimmick going, he could be fucking Batista 2.0.
Something, yeah.
I'll throw that out there. I don't care.
So at the end of the match, Chase's boy, Samoa Joe, comes out and helps FTR and Warlow from getting jumped by who they fought there.
I love Samoa Joe.
He's looking big.
He looked kind of like Taz. Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah.
Look like Taz. He's getting. I mean, he's always been kind of a bigger dude, but he definitely doesn't look
big
like,
that time.
He definitely doesn't look like he's in wrestling shape.
No,
I just want him to go on a freaking tear if he can stay around long enough. The dude seems like he's so injury prone; it's unreal.
Yeah.
Well, he's Ring of Honor.
I forgot he's still holding the TV title. He just came back from an injury. He got injured like 3 times in WWE before they shifted him to commentary. He's just always hurt, dude.
Yeah. Commentary at WrestleMania, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember what year, but it was just like, because I love Joe. He's awesome, but it's just like, damn, it sucks.
He reminds, honestly, like, now that I said it, he does remind me a lot of Taz. 100%, he is Taz. Like, think about it. Taz, I mean, Luke, you probably, you don't like Taz. Isn't that a guy you hate?
No, I like Taz.
You like Taz? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Taz is a lot of people don't know, especially if you're just, you know, a normal WWE fan. But Taz was a fucking great, great wrestler. ECW, he was hands down their best talent that they had. He was a small guy, but he was lifting everybody. He was doing those suplex. He had the side suplex he invented, you know, the Taz mission. Everything was good. He went to WWE. He fought Triple H on a SmackDown with he was the ECW champion. And he fought WWF champion at the time, Triple H. And he lost clean, but it was a great match. Everybody would have believed it if Taz would have won. You know, like Samoa Joe reminds me a lot of him, a big TNA guy. Big TNA guy, goes to WWE. You know, Taz won a tag belt with Spike Dudley. You know, Samoa Joe wins a couple U.S. belts and whatnot. But it just never comes to fruition. And Taz was another guy. He got hurt a lot. You know, because those guys that do a lot of lifting, like Samoa's finishing move is literally putting somebody on his back, you know, that ain't good for the back, you know. So I think he's really giving me Taz vibes. I hope he gets out of that because he's starting to look like Taz in 2002 right before he went to commentary because he's getting a little too big.
Have you heard Taz on commentary for AEW?
Yeah, speaking of Taz, Taz sucks
so
bad.
It is
get
so
him out
bad.
Of Taz was great as a manager. I love this little, like, crew that he had going for a little bit.
I
was
don't
like,
know why they quit it.
He's a good heel.
That, like, be a heel manager and just make Hook heel. Just have the father-son duo. Just manage him.
For sure.
Because Hook's like a babyface or something. But like, make him go back to being a heel. Just have Taz be a dick to everybody. Just be a manager. It would be awesome.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't just do that. We just turn this into shitting on Taz. I was praising Taz for 10 minutes. Now we can shit on him. That dude sucks ass in commentary.
All right, so the next match, we had Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Powerhouse Hobbs beat Starks on a spine buster to finish the match. Chase, you said you like Powerhouse Hobbs.
I do.
What are your up and coming guys?
He reminds me a lot of, like, Big E. I mean, they have a lot of comparisons. I think I'm curious if what other wrestlers say about him, because he looks like he's a little rough. He looks like he might be a little, you know, like Ryback type. I hope he doesn't turn into
that bad.
Yeah, where he's like hurting people.
I don't think he's like that. I love. One thing I do love is I love seeing him hit that spine buster every time. I almost love it as much as Arn Anderson's. I love it.
I think Arn Anderson's number one, but he's Powerhouse Hobbs might be. Batista's wasn't that good. Sorry, it wasn't that good. Triple H's wasn't that good. He was a spine buster guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He never finished with it, but you know, it was part of his moveset. But Powerhouse Hobbs, like, if you can hit a good spine buster, hell yeah, I'm all for it. I put him third, right behind Farouk. Honorary mention.
Oh my god, I forgot. Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't even drop on the ground. He'd just fucking palm him. All right.
That was just another, like, kind of mid-match card.
It was,
The next match, we had Swerve and Keith Lee versus the Acclaimed for the tag titles. Swerve and Keith Lee win. It was a very good match.
Great
back and forth.
Match.
Big man, Keith Lee, he was moving.
He always is. Chandler is always, like, my, you know, he's the one that feeds me, like, who's going to be the next star in 3 years. He called Keith Lee when that dude was wrestling in gyms that smelled like cat piss. Like, Chandler was like, look
so
at this.
Good. He can talk. He, like, doesn't have, like, the typical look of what they got. I mean, like, he's a big guy and everything, but for his size, like, I feel like you just got to showcase that guy just on how well he moves. Like, he's crazy.
It's hard to find guys that big that can do, like, full-on front flips outside, or, like, jumping out of the ring.
Jumping over a guy that big.
Yeah.
He jumped over Max Kessler. I don't know. He was doing some good moves.
All I got to say is once his body starts falling apart, whoever wrestles him is fucked.
He's going to be Vader?
He's going to be dropping on somebody. He's going to be hurting somebody.
I'll tell you what, though. Swerve, he, I'd say, reinvented his career in AEW, though, from getting cut by WWE.
Yeah. Him He's and Keith really Lee well. Got a really good team going. They got that Kobe and Shaq vibe is, like, the big thing they're going for.
I think
for.
That's what they're calling themselves.
Yeah, the Kobe and Shaq. Shaq. So. But that didn't end well, so...
This rivalry, I'd say, was really good. We're actually going to see this match again in 2 weeks on Dynamite
for the
title. In New York, actually, there, Chase, at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
I might have to make a stop.
Yeah. I also put Max Kessler, the one young dude for the Acclaimed. He's really good on the mic and in ring.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. I can see him definitely being an upcoming rising star for that company.
Yeah, they got a lot of hidden gems in AEW, for sure.
That's how they did. I don't know what they're doing with them right now. Like, they had Powerhouse pretty much beat the crap out of Starks, but Starks has a lot of star power. He's good on the mic. I do like Starks a lot. Yep. He's another one. They got a lot.
That's a good one, too. Yeah, I like Ricky.
The next match was the AEW's Women's Championship, the
Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa, thank you. So she dropped the title because she's injured. So the match was Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm, and I practiced this before, Haruka Shida. So Toni Storm won the match, but a lot of people were cheering for Jamie Hayter there. She was kind of teaming with Britt Baker. Britt Baker kind of turned on her at the end of the match.
Britt's a great heel too, so I know.
She is. I thought she was going to win the match, honestly.
It's probably best. You know, say Britt. It's okay if Britt doesn't get a run. Britt's going to get a bunch of runs, but Toni, I've never been a Toni Storm kind of guy. I think
Me either.
You know, she's.
I liked her in NXT UK a lot. And I'm liking her here just because she actually gets to talk and be her own person. Like SmackDown, how they brought her in first against Charlotte was crap.
Yeah.
So I like her.
Bad.
But I wasn't expecting them to put the belt on her. I thought they were going to give it to a heel. But
and Haruka Shida, did you know she was AEW champion for a year? I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
She's like the really She's like the one that's like 100 pounds. She's really skinny.
She's very very
like she's a wrestling prodigy. She gets hurt a lot too though. But fuck. I sit on her, she'd probably break a leg.
Oh.
You know?
So I guess we'll see what Toni Storm does for the company here. How good of a run.
I'm curious to see. I just think they have so much talent. You know?
One thing that bugs me is I think they're doing the same thing that they did with Punk. Like, I want to say after she won, because Thunder was injured, they made Toni and they called her the interim champion. I'm so done with the interim crap. Like, she's the champ. Shut up about it. She's the champion.
That's how it works.
Comes back and they'll probably have a feud because they're friends. but like I hate the interim crap.
I don't think WWE's ever done that, have they? Interim?
I think
when somebody gets injured, they just lose the title.
There was a Taker and Batista feud, right? Or something, Taker versus somebody where they had two titles. They literally had two world heavyweight titles.
I don't remember. Yeah, I think they've definitely done it before. Like, the last one I can think of is whenever Cena won the tournament and then Punk returns on the same night with the belt. But then at that point, you have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But whenever a champ gets injured, the new person is the new champion. I don't get why they keep doing the interim stuff.
I don't know.
Finn Balor comes out and they still call him interim champion.
Yeah, they do. They love that. He never lost the title.
Interim champion, Finn Balor. Yeah, he never lost it.
This match I was kind of excited to see. But it was Jungle Boy, Jack Perry versus Christian Cage. Jungle Boy comes out waiting for Luchasaurus. That's his tag team or partner there. Luchasaurus attacks him again because he was with Christian for a hot minute. Then he turned on Christian, went back with Jungle Boy. Then he turns on him again here, slams him on the stage.
That was brutal.
And then he drags him down, throws him through a table by his mom and I think sister?
Yeah.
Something like that. Then throws him in the ring. The match starts. Christian spears him, then hits him with a kill switch, and then he wins.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Match, 1, 2, 3.
I was just going to say, I was upset just because Christian was injured prior, so that's why they had to do that. But I was really I was really looking forward to that one too. I don't think it's serious, but he's been working with an injury, so they just
had his elbow two
finishers. I think so.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Wearing that brace.
That one would have been a good, solid match, like a good grudge match, like leading up to it. But
I was gonna say there was a lot of lead up to this match to end like that.
Very much.
That makes a lot of sense. This is
promos were great.
This was hot. This was red hot.
Yeah,
this was like the Riddle and Rollins situation over here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they went intense on the promos too. Yeah, the promos were good. You know, yep. Christian Cage just looked good wrestling. You know, Jungle Boy's always, you know, he's improved a lot since he first started for sure. Now it just seems like it's going to drag on a little longer than it should.
Well, now
we'll
I
actually
think
see
probably
if we get a match though out of Christian.
Yeah, I feel like
Jungle
now
Boy.
With him being out, they're not going to be able to pull it out as much longer. I think they're going to have to bring Christian back and maybe just give Jungle Boy that big win and just call it quits because now it's. It's not going to be flowing with him being injured now. So
Christian Cage is the heel. He's top notch. He was. He said something about
it.
His dad. He was saying shit about his parent or his mom and sister. And
he's always been a great heel. Always been a great heel.
He's been.
I love Christian. What do you guys think is going to happen with Luchasaurus? I like Luchasaurus. He's one of the few big men that can fucking. He can move good. He can put on a good match. But I just don't know what you're gonna like. I don't understand the point of.
If Christian's injured, it might drag out those two, though. Jungle Boy and
I can see them having their own
maybe
side.
That's the idea.
And then after that, maybe Christian comes back, and then they just keep Luchasaurus a heel, but have him go solo, like, finally.
A good old RVD versus Kane type feud.
Something,
The match versus Bryan Danielson. I almost said Daniel Bryan there versus Chris Jericho.
I still do it. I can't get used to his actual name.
I thought it was a very technical match, but there was a lot of submission holds if you watched it.
Yeah, I might have an unpopular opinion on this one.
Let's hear it.
I've always been a Jericho hater, and it's really...
I forgot about that.
I was a big Jericho hater. I've never really liked Jericho, and then I look back on it, and I was like, I really like Jericho. It's first couple years of AEW, I was really liking Jericho. I think we're getting towards the point where Jericho needs to transition. I know he's got that Jericho fan club. Maybe just, you know, maybe make some runs at the Trios titles with that. I think he's getting slow, you know, like the moves are getting slow. He's still hitting the Lion Salt, looking good with that. You know, he brought back the Walls of Jericho. They just call it the Walls now for some reason. But the Judas Effect is just as bad as that Cena super punch bullshit that he's been doing.
Oh, that's the backwards elbow, right?
Yeah. It's because he can't do the fucking Codebreaker, you know? Yeah. That's dropping on your back. That can't feel good for a 50-plus-year-old man. But, yeah, like Jericho, I think his window to be like a top AEW guy, I think it's gone. I think even with a faction, I can't believe it. You know, I like Jericho a lot. I think you could really, if you can give him like a send-out match maybe, you know, with Kenny or some good wrestler. But
something,
I think,
or just have him be like an attraction kind of, like to have him go to solos. Like the company's been around, what, like 3 years now? The first episode that ever aired, Inner Circle started, and then they break up, and the same night he forms the Jericho Appreciation Society. It's just all stables. I'm so dumb with him being in stables.
Yeah,
I think it's because he can't wrestle single matches very much anymore. It takes a lot. They did the same thing to Andre, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I thought him and Brian had a good technical match. What was it, like 10-plus minutes? I thought it was fine. But
a lot of submission holds, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was – I liked it enough, but it was whatever, I guess.
I can't believe he beat Brian Danielson.
I was not thinking that decision's kind of weird to me.
Well, he won, so –
yeah.
I think they're calling him the best technical wrestler, as he's saying. So
Jericho?
Yeah, that's what he said after that match.
He's That'll
be
up.
The next.
He needs to bring up the list again. Not like the list, but like the actual, the holds list that he went through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bring that back.
We had a filler match, I would say. We had the House of Black versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro. Sting was still moving with the big dogs at his age in this match.
Is this a hot take if I think that Sting, talent-wise, and Jericho aren't that far off each other? Like, right now, at their stage of their career.
Well, right.
Probably
right.
At least, what, 10 years old? 10 years different?
Oh, yeah. Sting's different. Like 62.
But, like, Sting's, like, Jericho, there's a couple spots where it's like, Jericho looks rough.
He was slow.
Sting always looks rough, but he's 60 years old, you know?
Dude, I don't know. I guess it's just, like, fanboy in me, but like it still blows my mind. Like, I don't feel like at his age he should be able to do this. It scares me every time he's in there, but he's been doing all these crazy spots and all this stuff for the last year and a half, 2 years, and he hasn't gotten hurt or anything. Well, seriously, it blows my mind, like, what he's able to do. Like, he looks good. He doesn't look bad.
I love Sting a lot, but the no sells that he does, I don't
know. Oh, that part I'm just like, I just laugh.
It drives me insane.
He was like, not in a good way either.
Hit the face while doing the submission.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing anything.
He wasn't moving. He got slammed through a table.
He's blowing in their face and stuff, but people popped for it.
Didn't he get slammed through a table a couple weeks ago? Or was that like a month ago? And he just got up right away?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't agree with that. Because, you know what that reminds me of? Hulk Hogan. And guess who everybody talks shit on? Hulk Hogan. Why aren't we talking shit on Sting for it? Just saying.
I wonder how long he's going to stick around. The match was fine. Yeah, I would say it was more filler than anything.
True. Yeah.
Miro,
Darby Allin,
like,
Sting, and Miro win. Miro actually was, like, kind of turning on his team there.
Yeah, I think they might do something with him and Darby.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Miro just came out into AEW like fucking old bread. Like, just stale. Just comes out stale. You know, I feel like they haven't done much with Miro.
Yeah, I just feel like he just... they need to do something with him, because I like him. It's just, I don't know what they're just throwing him into a random program just to, like, be Sting and Darby's third partner to take on the House of Black. Like, they had no one else, so it's just
it seemed like they just threw him in randomly for sure.
Yeah.
All right. It's the championship. The final match of the night was CM Punk in Chicago versus Jon Moxley. It was a very good match. Moxley controlled the match pretty much the whole time till the end. He did a lot of damage to Punk's foot and ankle that was repaired. There was a lot of holds also in grappling in this match. To end the match, it was two go-to-sleep, or GTSs, to end the match. Hit him one, bounced off the rope, got on his back, hit it again, into the match. Punk wins, crowd goes crazy.
It's in Chicago too, wasn't it?
Yep, Chicago.
They love punk. It's an easy draw right there, bringing punk out. They bleed a lot. Like Moxley and him bladed early in that match too.
Moxley wasn't bleeding.
It was just punk.
Yeah,
bladed bad too. Punk, like,
he was off the stairs or something like that.
Yeah, Moxley was like licking his fingers and shit. I was like,
yeah.
He's a little too far.
That's Moxley for you though, baby.
That's like some ECW. You know, it just never appealed to me. But the match was good for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was solid.
Chandler, you're a big punk guy. What do you think about him winning the title back?
I hated it.
Oh, okay.
Really?
It's weird. Like, at first I thought it would be weird putting the belt on Moxley because you got the Blackpool Combat Club and all that stuff. But now it's just, with them all just going out there doing their things and stuff, being a group still, but, like, going off individually, like, it would have just been fine with me. I would have been fine with Mox keeping the belt. And it was just, I don't know, it was weird because he won it. Punk was like, I came back too early, my foot and all this stuff. Did you see the promo he did last week on Dynamite before the pay-per-view? Like, Punk? That his buddy and trainer, Ace Steel, comes out. He, like, pulls him by the shirt and hits him. He's just like, you're being stupid, all this stuff, yada, yada. You pick up that contract and sign it. It was the most cookie-cutter bullcrap promo I've ever seen. I cringed. I hated it. And then he's just going out in the crowd, everybody's just cheering. Oh, I don't know how. It was the most, to me, it was the cringiest promo I've ever seen. Like, he's just sitting there, like, all down on himself, and then Ace Steel comes out, does all that crap, and then Punk's just like, that moment right there, I was like, I want Mox to win now. I want him to retain. The promo alone, it was so cringy to me. I hated that they went that route. I wish Punk would have just came out and said no. Well, I just wish that came out, didn't say a word, and then just pick up the contract out of the ring, sign it, and then that's the end of it. Then maybe he goes and wins the belt or something. Like, that promo and just all this, how they were booking it, I was just – and then also I wish Mox would have kept the belt in light of what happened after the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Now I really wish Mox would have held on to it.
Yeah,
but,
true.
I've never liked Punk. I've always hated him.
I was always 50-50. Chandler kind of swung me on him for a little bit because I've always thought that he was kind of a little bit overrated. Then I watched that Money in the Bank match with Cena, and that pop is insane. One of the biggest pops.
Even with the title?
Yeah. One of the biggest pops.
Well, like,
and
that's what I was saying.
Years.
Like, you get behind him whenever
too.
You build up like that I liked. But this build up with that promo in Chicago last week, just
this
all
seems
that.
Like, excuse my language here, but it definitely seems like they're just jerking off CM Punk.
Yep.
Like, because this really, I think it also buries Moxley because it's like, hey, Moxley, guess what? You know, your title reign doesn't mean shit because you're only the champion. Yeah, and guess what? The champion came back and he beat your ass.
Yeah.
Like, you can't beat the champ, you know, type shit. And it's like, you're really pushing Punk to the moon, which I understand. But look at, like, WCW, no offense. I think AEW is better. But look at WCW. What was the big thing that killed him? Was politics and guys that come in and want to be the guy, like Punk. Like, and, you know, sometimes that shit gets to their head. And as we're about to talk about, I think it probably definitely got to Punk's head.
Before we get there, at the end of the match, we saw the lights go out. There was a video promo. We learned the masked man, the Joker winner, was MJF, so he was going to fight CM Punk for the title. And then it ends. After the end of the pay-per-view, Wrestling's been starting to do these interviews, which I like.
Yeah.
We were talking about it, Chase. I like the interviews at the end of the pay-per-views.
They're great, it's a perfect spot to do, like, if somebody does a shoot. Yeah, if somebody does a shoot, it's like, okay, guess what? The other guy can just stay in character, because it's like a UFC event type thing, you know? You know, they used to do it. They did it. Chandler, which WrestleMania was Shawn versus Austin? Was it 13 or 15?
It was 14.
14, god damn it. I always mix it up. But, they did that after that at Mania, and that's when Shawn came out, or he came out during the interviews and was like, you know, cussing up a storm, saying how big of a piece of shit the company was and stuff. And Austin just stayed in character, and it's just, you know, it was awesome. And it's like, yeah, now we're seeing this happen more often with what they're doing with the post-match interviews. I love it, too.
Yep. So CM Punk does his interview with Tony Khan next to him. He tears everyone a new one in his interview. Colt Cabana, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. He's just pissed off at the company and everybody in his way. Many stories came out to say after CM Punk did his interview, there was a big backstage brawl between Punk, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Ace Steel, and there was even more people in this. Punches were thrown, chairs were thrown, our hair pulling and biting.
This is a shit show.
You guys are calling it a shoot, though.
Well, at first, and then all that stuff came out about the fight, and then also it just came out that the world title and the world trios titles all got vacated, and all four men are suspended.
Yep. So they all dropped the titles.
Yeah, so it's not a work or anything. Why would you go through all that trouble of crowning new champs just to have them be suspended and drop them?
This is going to be the greatest storyline of all time if it's not a fucking...
There was even rumors Punk might be fired from the company for what he did.
I saw that too, yeah.
So
now they're having like a big tournament to crown the new AEW world champion and stuff.
Yeah, which is Jericho's in. Ryan.
Yeah.
Sammy Guevara. Darby Allin. Moxley. Hangman lost. And that's it.
Man, I can't wait for them to give it back to Moxley just to lose it whenever Punk comes
something.
Back.
Well, Moxley did like a Brian great wins. Freaking promo. That would be, I would be fine with it.
Danielson?
Yeah.
He just lost clean to fucking Jericho, though.
At the pay-per-view. I mean, but he just beat Hangman yesterday.
Yeah, true. Oh, man. Yeah, that's tough. The booking for AEW is always fucking hard, though.
So we're going to see Jericho versus Brian Danielson next week. For the next round.
What are you guys thinking about the Punk stuff? I was the biggest defender. Luke kept sending me a bunch of stuff, and I kept saying it was a work from the beginning. It's like, there's no way this is real.
My thing is, I didn't watch the post interview. So wasn't it one of the people asked him about Colt Cabana? Is that what happened?
Something like that, yeah.
Something, just because and then he just started going off about Colt Cabana for so long, and then I think after that he starts bringing up the Young Bucks and Omega and stuff, and just everybody in the company that don't like him, and he just started, I don't know, going down this rabbit hole. I felt like that would just sound, I don't know, obviously I wasn't there, but it just sounded ridiculous. I'm just what? And then they were furious, and then they were there backstage when he left the interview, and then they just started going at it, and I'm just like, what the hell is this guy doing? It was like, and just the way he was presenting himself in that interview, you're the top babyface in the company. What are you doing?
You're the champion again.
Right.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted. You're not, what are you doing?
I expect this out of an MJF, not a Punk. Punk, you should be more literally your career almost ended, all this shit. Now you're just joining AEW. You're getting everything handed to you. Literally everything handed to you. You're getting billed as fucking Hulk Hogan. You know, you're beating Moxley. You're winning titles, you know. And then you're going out and doing that shit backstage and just pissing everybody off. It's that's how companies fall. That's literally how companies fall. And Tony Khan, I mean, he has his hands in Punk's pants. They love each other. Those two are best friends. So it's tough too, because Khan's going to always take Punk's side. He's always going to be on the side of Punk. I mean, he got suspended, but still, you know, when he comes back, he's going to be right back in the title picture.
Does he come back, though?
Yeah, that's the thing too.
That's the question.
I think this is the perfect time to cut ties with him.
Yeah.
It makes all look like shit, but I mean, at the same time, you're saving your company for a future fucking headache.
Yep. It makes you think, WWE right about him the whole time?
That's what I thought about all those videos
you see on Twitter and that.
And how many people came out, or Punk said all these horrible things about so many guys? Jericho was a guy he talked shit on. Ryback's a guy he talked shit on.
Yep.
Should AEW sign Ryback? Maybe Ryback's not that bad.
Crazy, because when CM Punk came back, there was a lot of people in that locker room that were shooting promos on CM Punk, and they were saying what the locker room would not say about him. So,
yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know, it does make you think. I think about that. I was thinking about that the other day in light of everything. I'm like, dude, all those, whenever him and Triple H had a rivalry, and Triple H was saying you only care if you're the one that's on top, you're a martyr and all this stuff. I was like, it's looking more and more like it might be true. I don't know.
It
just seems like everywhere he goes, it just seems like trouble follows.
Yeah. I mean,
because the backstage for months has been in shambles, it sounds like, from everyone coming out saying everything. It sounds like Tony Khan just is starting to lose grasp of everything. Cody's gone. The Young Bucks and Omega, I feel like they need to also, in light of all that, need to turn the other cheek too. Like, them as EVPs and stuff, I feel like they need to just go to being competitors and just let someone else take the reins.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard, though, because they started the company, though.
Right. Like, you can't just, you know, just give it away and put it in the hands of someone else, you know?
Yep.
I get it. I mean, I don't, but, like, I would imagine that it would be pretty, like, you can't just, they don't want to just do that.
Yeah.
This is going to be hard to get out of. This is a tough hole to get out of, for sure.
I guess for the next couple weeks and next pay-per-view, we're going to see what happens. So,
man, it just seems like they definitely fumbled the bag with the Punk shit. Oh, yeah. And it makes me sad. I don't understand. Like, Punk is the only sober guy that causes problems in the history of any wrestling. Usually it's like, oh, what's wrong with Sean? Sean was on so many painkillers, he didn't know where he was at. You know, yeah. What was wrong with Rick? He cheated on his wife and he drank a lot, you know? And even Rick wasn't even that big of a headache, you know? But all these, you know, Hogan, what was Hogan's problem? He's on steroids, you know? Like, Punk is, he's stone cold sober and he's fucking everybody up. I don't like that. You know, at least Scott Hall, you can be like, hey, take away the drugs and alcohol. He's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
We got anything else? I think that's it, right?
I think that's it.
All right. Great pod, guys. Great pod. I loved it. I'll try to put it out relatively soon. We'll probably be back after the next WWE pay-per-view. I forgot what it's called. It's called something different.
Are they doing Extreme Rules next, maybe?
I think it's Crown Jewel.
Or something.
It's the Saudi one.
Their schedule's just, like, they change it every freaking year, so I don't even know what pay-per-views come first anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's next. We'll be back soon. Just right. Know that.
Next pay-per-view. Just know it.
All right. You guys remember what we do at the end?
PWO?
Hell yeah. Get it going.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.